Section 2. The Fight Begins. As you read, look for how the rebellion against Britain turned into a civil war within colonies, especially between the Low Country and the Up Country of South Carolina. The fall of British rule in South Carolina in 1775, the return of the British in 1776, and their defeat by the Patriots at Sullivan's Island. A Declaration of Independence for the United States, a new Constitution for South Carolina, and Articles of Confederation for the new nation. Terms: Treaty of 96, Declaration of Independence, Constitution of 1778, Articles of Confederation. The fighting of the American Revolution began at Lexington and Concord in Massachusetts on April 19, 1775. Redcoats marched from Boston to capture some Patriot arms and ammunition at Concord. Militiamen and Redcoats exchanged fire, and several militiamen were killed. As the Redcoats returned to Boston, they experienced a new type of warfare. The Patriots fired from behind rocks, trees, and fences at the soldiers marching openly along the road. The Redcoats lost 273 dead and wounded. The Patriots lost 95. The war was to be long and terrible. It was not just a rebellion against Britain. The Revolutionary War, as it was fought in South Carolina, was truly a civil war, a war among citizens of the same country. Neighbor often fought against neighbor, family member against family member. The tragic fact of Americans fighting Americans increased the bitterness of the struggle. South Carolina's response to war. When news of Lexington and Concord reached South Carolina, the Provincial Congress, led by Henry Lawrence, moved swiftly. It raised troops and issued paper money to pay for arms and troops. It expected all citizens to sign a pledge to support the new government. Those who were not were roughly handled, some tarred and feathered. Support was strongest in the coastal plantation country and the towns of Georgetown, Charlestown, and Beaufort. The upcountry was the most divided. Many thought the Low Country aristocrats had mistreated the upcountry farmers. Why should they rush to the assistance of such a government? The Provincial Congress tried to persuade the upcountrymen to submit to the new government. Although not entirely successful, they did get many loyalists to sign the Treaty of 96, a pledge to remain neutral. On September 15, 1775, under pressure from the Provincial Congress, British rule ended in South Carolina. Soldiers and the new royal governor, William Campbell, evacuated Charlestown. Loyalists versus Patriots in the Upcountry. The fall of British rule in the colony emboldened the Provincial Congress to push the Upcountry for more cooperation. But Loyalist militiamen attacked an encampment of Patriot militiamen at 96 on November 14, 1775. South Carolina suffered its first casualties of the war. In December, a much larger Patriot force of 4,000 militiamen under Colonel Richard Richardson swept through the upcountry in an action called the Snow Campaign, eliminating opposition. Loyalists remained quiet in the upcountry until the British returned to the state in 1780. A temporary constitution. With British rule collapsing, the Continental Congress advised each colony to establish a government. The South Carolina leaders completed a temporary constitution in March 1776. The new government looked much like the old one. The lower house, called the House of Representatives, elected the upper house members and the chief executive, whom they called a president. John Rutledge was elected president, and Henry Lawrence, vice president. Threats from the sea and the frontier. Being rid of British rule did not mean being rid of the British. they returned to Charlestown with a dozen warships in June 1776. The British hoped to deprive the Patriots of a great port city, open a southern battlefront, and rally southern loyalists. Then an enlarged army could march north and trap General Washington. The Battle at Sullivan's Island. To enter Charlestown Harbor, the British fleet first had to deal with the guns at the unfinished fort on Sullivan's Island. The British planned an assault of soldiers from the land side while the ships attacked from the sea. The land assault failed. The attack from the sea became legendary in South Carolina's history. It produced two heroes and a symbol for the state. Colonel William Moultrie, the commander of the fort, had his men prepared for battle, even though the rampart, protective wall, had not been completed. Soon after the firing began, the fort's flagstaff, with its blue banner with a crescent in the corner, designed by Moultrie, was shot down and lay outside the rampart. Sergeant William Jasper ran along the outside of the wall amid the cannonballs pounding the fort, grabbed the flag, dashed safely back inside the fort, and raised the flag once more. The rampart was not built of concrete or stones, but of palmetto logs and sand. The spongy palmetto logs absorbed the artillery fire rather than splintering. The British had many more guns, but were unable to destroy the tiny fort. The invaders lost a ship and many lives before withdrawing. Colonel Moultrie and Sergeant Jasper became great heroes, and the palmetto tree became a symbol for the state. That symbol was added to the crescent on the blue background to create the state flag we have today. The wounded fleet sailed up the coast to join a successful attack on New York. Charlestown was saved for the Patriots. The British effort to open a southern battlefront failed for the time being. The victory was huge for the American cause and Patriot morale. The discouraged South Carolina loyalists remained quiet until the British returned. The Low Country was calm for a few years, but the frontier was aflame. A Cherokee Uprising. As the British fleet fled Charlestown, a Cherokee uprising began in the upcountry. Encouraged by the British and Loyalists, the Indians attacked Patriot farms, homes, and stores in July 1776. The fighting was small scale, but fierce and brutal on both sides. The Patriot forces were led by Colonel Andrew Williamson, Captain Francis Salvador, and Andrew Pickens. The militia forced the Cherokee from all their villages east of the Blue Ridge, burned buildings, and destroyed food supplies. The Patriot militias from South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina, and Virginia defeated the Cherokee. The Second Cherokee War within two decades was over before winter began. About 2,000 warriors were killed, and the Cherokee were removed as a significant factor in the Revolutionary War. In May 1777, Chief Attacullacoola signed a treaty with the four states at DeWitt's Corner, due west. The tribe gave up its land in South Carolina, basically the land in present-day Greenville, Anderson, Oconee, and Pickens counties. The new nation declares independence. In the meanwhile, the Continental Congress in Philadelphia was writing and adopting the Declaration of Independence, the document by which the American colonies declared their independence from Great Britain. Since the beginning of the war, the colonies had been fighting to restore their rights as Englishmen. In the summer of 1776, they gave up on that quest and demanded freedom from the British Empire. South Carolina's delegates to the Congress were Arthur Middleton, Edward Rutledge, Thomas Lynch, Jr., and Thomas Hayward, Jr. All favored the independence proclaimed on July 4, 1776. The Declaration of Independence stated the idealistic foundations upon which the nation was to be established. These ideals included the belief that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The purpose of government is to guarantee those rights to its citizens. The government gets its authority to rule from the consent of the governed. The Declaration's author, Thomas Jefferson, was strongly influenced by the ideas of John Locke, who had used the same concepts to justify England's Glorious Revolution of 1688. Jefferson was a slave owner, as were many in the Congress who voted for the document. He realized, and perhaps the others did too, that there was a vast gap between his ideals and his practices. He did try to include a strong condemnation of the slave trade, but Edward Rutledge led the protest that removed it from the final draft. The ideals of the Declaration of Independence did not indicate the way things were, but how things should be. The South Carolina Constitution of 1778. A new nation was born. Now South Carolina was a state within a nation, not a colony belonging to an empire. Its citizens were not Englishmen, but Americans. With independence, the state leaders decided to write a permanent constitution. The new constitution of 1778 made very sure the government would be controlled by the Lowcountry elite, men of privilege, mainly Charlestown merchants, planters, and lawyers. They dominated the General Assembly, now composed of a House of Representatives and a Senate. The revolutionary government was not very revolutionary, nor very democratic. The Articles of Confederation. The National Congress in Philadelphia, in 1777, adopted the Articles of Confederation, a document that was to act as a constitution for the national government, though it was not ratified, officially confirmed, or approved by the states until 1781. The Articles of Confederation bound the states together enough to fight a successful war, but it was a very loose union in which very limited power was given the central government. Do you remember? Define in sentence form. Treaty of 96, Declaration of Independence, Articles of Confederation. 2. How did South Carolina's Provincial Congress react to news of fighting at Lexington and Concord? 3. How did the palmetto tree come to be an important symbol for our state?